I'm not treating you to lunch anymore! You had to tell Julie that I made a special point of telling you that I bought you the big salad, didn't you? If it was a regular salad, I wouldn't have said anything. But you had to have that big salad!
You can't handle the truth! Because when you reach over and put your hand into a pile of goo, that was your best friend's face! You'll know what to do! Forget it, Marge! It's Chinatown!
Home Turkey Sky.
Like, you totally can't, because if you're a kid, when A View to a Kill came out, you're going to totally fucking love
it. What else is great about A View to a Kill is that Christopher Walken is blonde, which is even creepier looking on him, and he doesn't talk with his Christopher Walken affect.
Yeah, that's true.
He talks like a normal person, yeah, and it's like, it threw me off. As a kid, that's how I know Christopher Walken.
You know what's really creepy?
Like, when you see it, when I saw him in other things, I'm like, oh, that's the guy from A View to a Kill. Okay. You know, I didn't know who he was.
But you're talking this one up.
Like, now, I had never seen The Deer Hunter.
I want you to go back and watch this again, and then remember that, like, James Bond, like, looks like a senior citizen when you're watching this, and he's still, like, hitting on 20-year-olds. It's the saddest shit ever, dude.
No! The one thing that I will always remember about A View to a Kill, the one thing I thought was disturbing was that, you know, there's that scene in the beginning where he's on the helicopter, the helicopter explodes, and he grabs that little leg thing that they land on, and he snowboards, because snowboarding had just come out, and it was kind of, and he snowboards. There's nothing tying his feet to the skid. He's just riding it down and doing tricks and stuff like that down the mountain. And then he lands like on a little iceberg floating in the water. And it just turns out that iceberg has a lid on the top, and it's a submarine that he goes into.
Surprise,
and has a beautiful, beautiful blonde woman in a fur bikini on a waterbed.
That wasn't a bikini.
We are going to owe Dr. Hook some money.
Oh, but that was a great movie. It was a great movie.
I mean, it's great in that I think all James Bond movies are great, but I got to put it in the lower third.
Octopussy?
Octopussy is fun.
That's good.
Has a disturbing scene with James Bond in a clown outfit for like 35 minutes. Like, I don't want to see James Bond dressed as a clown. We've already accepted that he'll never truly go undercover at any moment. Why did they suddenly decide in the 80s this was a good move? But the rest of that movie is gold.
How come whenever James Bond has to go undercover, it's always as a suave guy wearing a tuxedo?
I know, because there's always some benefit that he's got to go through.
He's
some,
like,
gala.
He's in the union, and he's a journeyman. His cards, if you have to impersonate like a car dealership owner or something, that's the lower guys. He only takes the jobs where tuxedos are involved.
Who was your favorite Bond girl, Brandon?
Jane Seymour.
Jane Seymour,
she
was,
is fine.
Good.
Yeah, she still looks good too. She still looks good.
Yeah, she looked really good back in that Bond. Man, that had the super sleazy scene that I do love though. So she could tell the future as long as she's a virgin, and so there's like a scene where Bond has her read her fortune with tarot cards, and she pulls one up and she's looking, and he's like, I already know before you said it. It's the lover, isn't it? and they wind up, like, I mean, basically classically fucking, because it's a Bond movie, right? And then you see, like, behind his back, he drops his cards and they all say the lover. Like, oh, you're such an asshole, dude. I love it.
Imagine how many STDs Bond has had in his life.
All of them.
They had a Saturday Night Live sketch about that where he had to like call all these women to tell him he got an STD. And his doctor's explaining how like his STDs have somehow like contracted STDs. It was great. I think it was Chris Parnell playing Bond in that one. So
that sounds about right.
Yeah. God, I think my favorite Bond girl. Are you ready? Because I'm going to hit the cue one more time.
Okay, do it.
We already owe Dr. Hook some money. Let's just keep this going. Famke Janssen. Oh, yes. Xenia on the top.
Yeah.
Adrian, you can't deny this. I was sitting on
she at least looks like sophisticated. You know,
she looks crazy in that movie. She has crazy eyes. But she's hot as hell.
That's what I'm saying. But there's like something. There's, she has an edge to her where it's not like when you throw Halle Berry at me, it's like, ugh.
I mean, she's terrible in that movie. I just like Halle Berry in general.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm not really attracted to Halle Berry at all. I don't really see it. But
really,
there's a lot of people that I don't see. Like, I don't understand why they're good looking to people.
Your dick's a racist.
My balls are all right with it. my dick, they won't do it.
It's a white supremacist. I don't know what to tell you.
He spews out all of his white filth.
Oh, we are earning the explicit rating on this one. Oh my god. So who's your favorite Bond girl, Adrian?
You know, I think I'd have to say, just because, you know, the stuff that you grew up with,
mm-hmm.
it kind of sticks with
you.
Dude,
I picked the one from when I was in high school.
So yeah, so
I'm guilty too. Brandon was the only one classy enough to reach backwards, and that was a fucking
A View to a Kill is one of my favorite Bond movies because it came out when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And Tanya Roberts, and anything she's in.
She is hot.
Yeah,
she's
classic Americana hot.
She was still hot in that 70s show. Yeah, she was. Hot mom. Like,
yeah. She looked the same. She looked exactly the same.
She didn't, but hey, she still looked hot. Dude, she looked hot. I won't hear it.
Tanya Roberts, Beastmaster.
Yeah.
That was a great play. I got to get those movies for my kids, man.
For your kids or for you to watch with your kids? Because I'm starting to make the distinction because I've been realizing stuff that I really enjoy.
One copy for my kids and one sticky copy for dad.
You got a Blu-ray player, right?
Yeah, I do. You have Beastmaster?
No.
Oh, snap.
No, but everything looks better in
speaking
Blu-ray.
Speaking of hot women, I was on my phone like at work one day, like at lunch or at break time, just going through my Facebook, kind of getting an idea of who's doing what, if anybody be leaving any messages or anything like that. And I came across this little, I don't know what you call them, the little stories of people bagging on the new Miss USA or Miss America.
Oh, no.
What's
going on now?
She, horror of horrors, she was wearing a rainbow bathing suit. Okay, and they're like, oh, we did all these spectacular memes about her wearing this suit, and it's like all these like really weak attempts to make her look bad for wearing a rainbow. And it, let me put it like this, it was like a bikini bottom, but it wasn't like a bikini top. It was like a surfer scuba diving. You know what I'm talking about?
Like kind of a string thing.
No, it's long. Oh. It's
I'm sorry. My mind wandered.
It's like it's long sleeve. Like you could see her navel, but it was all covered up.
Really?
But wait.
So that's slutty now?
Now listen to this. I usually hate pageant stuff.
I do too.
I don't like if you watch those things.
They're even worse.
They look really not that attractive to me. A lot of those women.
Well, they do that fake smiley thing that they
this
have
one
to do
does not.
Vaseline on the teeth.
I was proud to be an American to know that this beautiful woman was representing our country, and I'm going to pull this up for you right now because I got to get an opinion, and maybe you can just kind of let me know what you think about what do you think constitutes a beautiful woman in your opinion? It doesn't have to be what is beautiful or is the ideal of beauty, but what do you find? What are the things that you find beautiful about women?
So my definition of beauty is not much unlike the Supreme Court's take on pornography. I know it when I see it. Because if everything I could qualify, I could think of a way that, for the most part, that would contradict it. Except for teeth. I mean, teeth are a necessity.
Teeth are nice, aren't they? Teeth are nice.
I mean, I don't care so much as long as they have teeth in their head. I'm scared of like a toothless woman. Let me put it that way.
Or they teeth elsewhere.
If they have dentures,
has the best teeth.
Yeah, teeth aren't a turn on for me, but they're definitely a turn off if you're missing them. Yeah, I mean, it's like I can't quantify it. I just know it when I see it. Like, I love some big ladies. I love some thin ladies. I love in between ladies. Like, color of hair doesn't matter to me. Color of skin, like big breasts, small breasts, big butt, small butt, everything in between. Like, I just it depends on the woman.
It's true, right? And that's a very good answer, because I totally agree with you.
And I'm not. That's not me trying to like be, I don't know, PC or whatever. But it's true. Like, I can come up with examples.
That's you trying not to kill your chances with a lot of women.
No, I'm married. I have no chances with women other than my wife.
You have no chance with your wife. I had a lot of girlfriends, you know, from high school until I got married. And I always thought that I knew what I really liked. And then it's not like I wasn't attracted to my wife. I mean, I remember the first time I ever met my wife, my jaw kind of dropped. And I was like, but I had a girlfriend at the time.
Right.
And she had a boyfriend at the time. And then it was...
Whoa. Your girlfriend had a boyfriend at the time? That was you, right? Some weird shit we haven't heard about.
And it was years later before we ever got together. But I found something that I think, and I thought it was something that I liked about women in general, but it's not. It's what I liked about my wife and how my wife is built, to her beauty, whatever. When I very first met my wife, I thought she was like a ballet dancer or something like that, because she's very like petite. And she's tall and long. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And but I also know your wife, so
yeah.
That helps.
and for some reason, and she was in college, and she was going to a fancy college.
What do you describe as a fancy college?
I don't a college where like the buildings are have gargoyles on them and stuff like that. Okay, so I'm going to show you a picture of Miss America. And this is the picture that people were making fun of her over. And this is a picture that this could easily have been my wife when we got married. All right. So I'm going to hand that to you. Tell me what you think about that. Nothing wrong with that picture, is there?
No.
Oh, are you going to criticize it?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
It does look like she's had some work on the chestal region.
I don't think you're allowed to be Miss America.
They actually have rules on that?
They do.
It's so crazy what we put women through. Like, I'm not, how can I put it? I'm not a fan of like surgery on the breasts or whatever, but like, I also think we shouldn't tell people they can't do shit because they got surgery on their breasts either. What a weird time
live in. What I think is funny is that I don't think that people should be told what they can or cannot do, but it is hilarious to me because, I think from years of listening and watching Stern, not just seen them, but like watched contests to see competitions so people could tell who is real and who is not. And I've seen enough to know that it's not just getting breast augmentation. It has a lot to do with who you get it from. And some of them are just like, whoa, wow. And some of them are like, holy shit, did you see that? It's crazy.
I'm glad
nipples looking opposite ways.
I'm glad you brought this up. Just because there is something that's been bothering me for a while and I keep forgetting to bring it up on the show. I was right in an argument in Olympia, Washington in 2005, and because I'm petty as fuck, I want to air it out for everybody to hear 10 years later. So I got in an argument about whether Angelina Jolie had breast implants or not 10 years ago. And I was so upset because like most of the room had turned against me and said there was no way she had breast implants. And the smoking gun, as far as they were concerned, was some movie she was in. It might have been Hackers, but don't quote me on that. But some movie when she was 17... she had the same like looking breasts, and they were like, there's no way she got breasts when she was a minor. And I'm like, look, if she was a minor in that movie and she had the same breasts as she has now, then they're fake, because nobody is more likely to get fake breasts as a minor than like the child of a Hollywood star whose daddy doesn't pay attention to her. I was like, there's no way she's real. And just a little while ago, she got her breast implants taken out of her. So I was like, I was right.
Well, no,
like,
she didn't have the people. Well, she had her breast taken off. She didn't have the implants taken out. She had her whole breast taken off.
Oh, but
and she had implants put in.
What?
She was afraid.
That's
she,
not what I read. I read
her. She had a double mastectomy. Both of her breasts were taken off, and then to reconstruct it, she now has augmentation. In order so she can have breast again.
I heard it was something with her breast implants.
Breast cancer runs in her family. And she has the gene. She had the test done. She has the gene to get breast cancer.
Then because I'm a petty motherfucker, I will not apologize.
But to help you out of that, stay on subject but go to another subject. Angelina Jolie, not attractive to me.
She was, and then at some point she stopped being.
Do you know who I really think is good looking?
I think it was like overkill of Angelina Jolie.
I like her more even now. But before, man, she was like totally like in shape and stuff like that. And it was kind of action star. But Jennifer Garner, holy crap, that girl's got me.
I never really felt it for Jennifer Garner. I was actually thinking about this the other day.
And Elektra.
I know what it is, and it's such a petty thing. But
her smile. Oh, I love that smile.
It's her jaw.
I love it.
She has the jaw of like a male action star, and it bothers me.
She just seems like,
and it's fine. Like I have nothing against people liking that, but I just like I see it, and I just
she's a legitimate movie star.
Yeah,
but I
well the, she I mean she was she's really not
but,
anymore.
I know, but I'm saying I get the feeling like she's like you could like talk. She'd be a cool neighbor to have, like if you had kids. Like she'd be like the like you know like she'd be the type of mom, even though she's a movie star, who would still have kids over to play, make them brownies, and all, she's doing all that stuff herself. She doesn't have help.
See what I don't know. I found out something about her that made me personally not like her. Oh,
what is that?
Like
what is that? Don't make me hit you.
Kevin Smith was saying like the reason that him and Ben Affleck aren't friends anymore is because she didn't like him. And she was just like driving him out. And I was like, dude, if you can't get along with Kevin Smith, I don't know. Like that just seems like it's always these like stuck up people or fake people that always have.
So does that mean that Kevin Smith is they're going to rekindle the relationship? I mean, he's like, got to.
Let
Batman,
me put it this way. If
his
I was,
good friend was Batman.
If
now.
I was friends with Kevin Smith and I like hung out with him, I would like test people in my life to see how they like interact with Kevin Smith to see whether. Whether like there's something I wasn't seeing that like suddenly appeared. Like he's a litmus test.
He's the barometer.
He's the barometer. That's right. Boy, we have gone in some crazy directions.
That's what
tonight.
The show is all about.
Brandon, what did you bring tonight?
Well, I had something serious at the end, so that's all I brought tonight.
The serious at the end?
Yeah.
We're 30 minutes through. Is this like a buzzkill thing?
No, not really.
All right, we'll just bring it up then.
Well, our good friend of the podcast, Colin Corbett.
Oh, yes.
Oh, great. Bringing that up now. I'm joking.
Is going to Seattle to get a couple surgeries done, and he's needs some help monetarily. So there's a link out there to give him a helping hand out, so...
Yeah, please help him out. We had him on an episode way back.
Long time in your backyard.
Yeah, we were talking about the Earth 2 Green Lantern coming out of the closet. I remember that was like a conversation we had. I don't really remember
do
what other
have,
conversations
we had. Do we have any footage of Colin playing? For those of you who don't know, Colin is one of the most excellent guitar players I've ever had the pleasure of playing guitar with.
Yeah, there might be something on YouTube. I don't know, but I'll definitely put up a link for.
Or maybe
his page
we could like feed out the show to it or something like that.
I got I'll outro with some with some music that Colin played.
I remember when I very first moved here to Helena. Colin was one of the very first people I met. I think the first people I met were Sam and Greg.
So the two other members of the band that I was in, yeah. Which included Colin.
Well, I just remember because I wasn't sure. I didn't really know what I was getting into when I moved here. I was a little freaked out when I first got here, to be honest. I mean, I was from a big city and this is a small place. But I met them, and then through that whole meeting, I mean, if you're new here and I mean, I was 25, so we were at a good age. So you're at a certain age, you meet someone like Greg and Sam.
That was the same age I moved to Olympia.
Oh, yeah?
Really tough for me to acclimate the first year, and then I was fine after that.
Well, you know, the first people I really meet are Greg and Sam, and then sets things into motion, and you end up meeting all the people that I know.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's just like a big happy musical family for the most part. I mean, everybody you know plays music. And I had just started playing guitar. Like, I bought a guitar maybe a month before I moved here. And my friend back home, Scott, gave me one lesson that I didn't understand. And I was just trying to teach myself how to play. And I knew how to do some of the basic chords. I didn't understand structure. I didn't know scales. I didn't know anything. I just knew two bar chord positions. And they weren't even true bar chords. They were like the cheaters positions. And I was at... where was I at? I went somewhere, and Colin was there, and I started talking to him, and he was a cool dude, and he showed me one scale, and he's like, just practice it, and that's all I did for like 2 weeks, was just play that one scale, forward and backward. I still do it. When I play guitar today, I warm up for the first 5 minutes playing that scale, and then I have like six songs that use that scale very fluidly throughout the song. So I play those songs, and I always think about Colin when I'm doing that stuff. But he was able to, in the 2 hours that I sat with him and played, in those 2 hours, he was able to teach me more about guitar. I learned more in those 2 hours than I have since.
You know, it's crazy because I learned so much about music from Colin, just playing in a band with him. And what I found out, he admitted it eventually, but not right away because it would have destroyed my confidence. But me and Greg decided to do a band. But I was more like, yeah, we're going to do a band. Cool. But I didn't think it would ever really happen because we didn't have a guitarist. And then suddenly we went on a trip for Halloween out to Missoula, and Colin came along, and Greg's like, hey, you should do a band with us. He's like, okay. Well, what I didn't know was Colin was like, I don't know about this other guy, I've never really seen him. And I was a horrible singer at first, and then I figured it out, but he was just doing it like, yeah, I'll do it because I don't have anything else to do. But then he wound up having a lot of fun doing it, you know.
Well,
and I always appreciate it because he showed me a lot of shit. But then on top of it, we would have crazy weed-addled conversations, and I would just learn all kinds of things about the universe. And
he's like totally like, deep too. I mean, he's like one of those guys. Like when I was just from the first time I met him, when we were talking about guitars, I assumed that he was like a mathematician, yeah, and was a scientist. I thought maybe he was a professional photographer. As you just assume
these are
these
all things that he dabbles into.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I dabble in calculus. I mean, who dabbles in calculus? He's very well rounded. And for someone to be at the status that he is as a human being, he's just kind of, he's up there on a different level than everybody else. I think he's not cocky about it at all, but I think he knows that, you know, he's something special going on there. He works at making himself a better person all the time by studying and learning and being a good friend, all this kind of stuff. But I've never, ever witnessed him being condescending to somebody.
Oh, I have.
Oh, I've never seen that. No, I've never seen that.
Well, I've seen Colin whiskey drunk. I mean, you know, it's always a good fun.
Well, that
but
doesn't
I've
count.
Definitely
that doesn't count.
That. Yeah.
That doesn't
okay.
Count. I mean, then, real Colin,
like in a mean way.
Yeah.
No. Just in a really funny, like, yeah, snap somebody down way. I've definitely seen that, and it's always hilarious.
He's kind of like if, I mean, not that Kevin Smith isn't a real person, but if Kevin Smith and all the guys from the Big Bang Theory were all mushed together and were a real person. Does that make sense?
No.
He's got all the nerdy coolness of a Kevin Smith, But he's also got like all the nerdy brain stuff of genius type people. So it's like, you know, he has it all. He just has it all. He's a great guy. And again, if you can help him.
Yeah, please do. Just kick in a few shekels at least. You know, a couple dollars here, a couple dollars there. Help him get to his goal. He's a really good dude, and the earth needs good dudes.
You know, when you're just a regular dude trying to live and don't have any kind of misconceptions. Colin is not, it's not like he's begging for money because he doesn't want to spend his own.
It's
a long haul. It's a long haul. You're driving yourself to Seattle and back.
And I feel like the people who are probably going to give are people that know him. But if you're not going to give because you don't know him, then consider this. Like, our friends at We Had a Good Life and our friends at the Alien Movie Project have a donate button, and they always have people donate to the shows. I don't have a donate button, but if you would like to help out the show, donate to help out my friend, because not only will you feel better for doing it, like, it'll make me feel better. So if you want to like give back to the show, just help us out with our friend.
Yeah. It's youcaring.com under Colin Corbett.
And I'll make sure to put a link on the metadata just in case you're like, well, I'm not going to remember that in 5 minutes when the podcast is over. I'll put a link up. So, yeah, just please help out. Do we have anything else we should bring up before we come to a close here?
I thought that there was.
So how's the Slow and the Furious coming?
Oh, that's, well, true to its name, I was supposed to do the Slow to the Furious for the last... How many weeks have you done the show in a row now, Adrian?
Two.
So the last...
No, three.
Okay, so for the last four episodes, I've forgotten to do the Slow and the Furious. So right on with the name. So for those who may have forgotten in the long span of time since I've last done it, I've been... There's this... Anything that I should have seen in pop culture, I'm going to eventually see. The Fast and the Furious movies were one of those. And I know I keep hearing from people that like, I got to check out 5, 6, and 7 because those are apparently the gold, like the so bad it's good movies.
They are wonderful, wonderful movies.
Yeah. So I'm trying to trudge through the first couple. I really enjoyed the first one. Second one, not so much. Didn't really enjoy it. It was
a rehash of the first one, but not up to the fun level of the first one.
Really, it's not even really a rehash of the first one because he's a cop, but not really. And like, he's got his friend that he's like fucked over a bunch, but for some reason they're friends. And then like, it's just cookie cutter action scenes like over and over again that lead up to basically... one action scene that I guess is kind of cool, but I've already seen a couple of times, which is like them jumping the car into the boat.
You know what was,
and I feel like I've already seen that a couple of times.
The first one, I mean, the first one was fun. But do what really killed me, and I know it's not a movie that you can expect to be like totally like realistic.
How many of them have you seen?
I've seen the one.
Oh. Yeah, because from what I heard, 5, 6, and 7, is a straight up superhero movie.
I am not going to subject my brain in taking any more of that stuff. the thing that always bugs me to this day was that these guys, they secretly, what do you call it? Was it hijack shipments of car parts and stuff, high end. And they use it with their trick driving. And they somehow use that as their ability to come up with these schemes. But no one ever realized, like, and they always get away with it. How do they get away with it? They're driving these highly specialized, flashy colored, rimmed, bright light cars. It's like, I don't know, officer. It was a lime green metallic purple stripe down the front. Oh, there's a million of those around. I don't know if we're going to be able to find. Of course, it's Bob, the guy who drives the lime green metallic pink stripe car. But
for what you're saying, which you're right, there's Monica, which I totally said the name wrong last time.
Yeah, you did.
I said Melinda last time, which Dub was right. Ain't nobody wanting to fuck a Melinda.
Here you go. Here you
Monica.
Go. Here you go. The only good thing about that movie was Vin Diesel's sister in the movie. Holy shit.
All right, here we go. Talk about her.
She just looked good. She's one of those kind of girls that you're not sure. Is she a white girl with a tan? Or is she from some other strange land? Her eyes were just perfectly spaced on her face. You just weren't sure.
Whoa. That's a big thing for you.
Absolutely.
I get it when they're not.
I'm the worst at this too because I'm like the most odd looking dude. But
you are not odd.
I like things to be symmetrical. I like.
Yeah, we heard your stance on fake breasts.
I like a character. I like people to have character. You know, I think that. There are certain traits that, I mean, just physically natural in the world make someone attractive. I mean, they're just there. But a lot of people are attractive, and they say they're attractive.
A lot of the time,
they look...
They have one side slightly bigger than the other.
A lot of times when you're talking about attractive someone is, you say, oh, they look like this movie star or that movie star. I like it when... And for guys too, if you're going to be handsome, it's like one thing if someone says, oh, he's handsome, he looks like Tom Selleck, or if a woman's attractive but she doesn't look like anybody else, then that's like especially more, you get more credit for that. But what's her name, Jordana Brewster, I think that's her name in that movie.
Yeah, I think so.
She has like a really, I don't know, it's like a real, she has a real clean look, like she looks like she could like she doesn't have to be in a movie like that. Like she could be making money,
and yet she's in seven of them.
She's in all seven of them.
No, she's not in all seven of them.
She's not in part two.
She's not in part three. I remember there was a big deal when five came out. She's coming back. She's making a reappearance.
Okay, so just to be fair, I've seen 1, 2, 3, and just in the last couple of weeks, I've hit 5, 6, and 7.
I just skipped four altogether.
Like, I've heard nothing good that's like makes me want to watch this. When you get to 5, it jumps to a whole other level.
It's craziness.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
The first couple of movies didn't
is the
have
Rock
that.
In it by that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you two signs that your movie is shit is if The Rock is in it, and then if it's starring Ronda Rousey.
Okay, will you do me a favor? Huh. I'm doing these slips curious, and I'm gonna catch up. When I get to part 7, will you take the bullet and watch it with me?
I won't.
No, you have to start at 5.
I won't be starting anywhere.
There's actually an arc to those three movies. It was surprising to me that there's... Because they actually take off one after the other.
All right, Adrian. I get it because I was there a couple years ago.
Do what I find even more infuriating about it is that here in Helena, there are... Oh, this drives me nuts. There are like the Fast and Furious crews, the young kids, and their rock and roll haircuts. But they...
driving across my lawn.
But they try to...
Blasting that bass music.
They try to have like that look for their car. And it looks really cheesy. But you know, first of all, I'm thinking, oh, well, you know, maybe they don't have that much. They spent the money on the engine and all this kind of stuff. They can't afford to do all the fancy stuff on the outside. And there's a couple of cars around town, young kids driving it. And they have those giant, like, Formula One racing wings on the back of their car. They don't even understand how they work or the physics behind them. They're just glued onto the back of their trunk. And I was talking to this girl at my work who's one of these girls who has – she likes this stuff. And she had a newer car, and she's talking about she likes to do this type of stuff. And so I never had a car like that, but I have friends back home who are really into it. I have friends back home who are still drag race. I mean, they have like really nice stuff going on. So I
do that. Do they rob trucks to get the parts
not.
For the car?
They do not.
There's a Nas shipment going by Santa Cruz.
That's right. There's a shipment of Full Throttle energy drink. We have to get that. So we're talking. I'm listening because I have somewhat kind of knowledgeable. I mean, I'm not like the king or anything, but I know some things, and I realize that she's talking all this talk, but all she has a Dodge something. And the only thing that she's ever...
I drive a Dodge Stratus. You do not talk to me that way.
The only thing she's ever done to it was she took
the front spoiler off underneath the bumper, and it's a white car, and she replaced it with a black one.
Oh.
And then she took the hubcaps off of the it wasn't even rims. She didn't even have rims. She took the hubcaps off of the tires so that the black...
It's just a black steel rim.
Because that's like the cool thing is that the cool rims are black now. So it's like black.
So she made her car incredibly unsafe so it looked cool.
It's not unsafe. It just looks ghetto.
It's not like she had four donuts. And then she has
what would be really unsafe is if you had two and one was on the driver's side and one was in like the back passenger side.
Girl, just wobbling back and forth.
You have to, it only goes forward.
Dude, we could totally get on the curves, but everybody needs to lean to the left and then to the right.
It's like a specialized Tyco radio control car that only turns when you go in reverse. And then she turns it on and it's like, man, you know, like the kind of that weird sound that they make, those kind of cars. Uh-huh. And I look back and I'm talking to her. She has nothing done to the engine. It's a stock engine. Nothing done to the exhaust systems or anything like that. She just has this giant tip on her muffler that makes it have that sound. And it's about the size of a coffee can sticking off. It almost drags on the ground. And I was trying to explain to her. It's like, you realize that this does not make your car fast. This is you still drive the same car, but it has a black thing on the front. And you have a coffee can.
She's like, hold on, I'm drinking a Nas energy drink.
They're always drinking energy drinks. They're always drinking.
With the
and it's
rock
funny.
And roll haircuts.
And it's funny because...
Listening to their Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Because they're into auto stuff, auto racing and stuff, they drink the Nas.
Yeah.
Because that's like, you know, it's for them. It's okay. It's like FUBU for auto car people.
Right. Okay, I want to back up really quick. Last story. And then we're cutting this, but you talked about the Tyco race cars. So we used to have the
slot cars.
Yeah. The little slot cars. So
those are awesome.
There were these little.
Remember cliffhangers?
We used to call them stompers when I was a kid.
Oh, that's different. That's different.
Those are cool too.
Yeah. I had stompers too. They're the shit.
Yeah. So there's all these, but stompers is specifically what I want to talk about because it reminded me. So when I was in kindergarten, we had these stomper races. And so what it was it was these little tiny cars that had like rubber wheels and like they looked like monster trucks.
Double-A battery.
Yep. A little double-A battery. Headlights. You could like take the body of the car off and mess with the wiring so you can make it do slightly different things. Yeah, headlights and stuff. So and they had like packs you could buy where you could modify your cars and stuff. It was actually kind of a cool idea. It was definitely an 80s thing though. Yeah. Anyway, so I didn't have a stomper, and they were having stomper races after school, and they were having an actual race, right? So my mom, and I can't fault her with this, but it is her fault. She goes out to like get me like a stomper the last minute before I go to school. So I'm so excited. I've never like used this thing. So what it was like it was designed so it goes in a circle to the left or to the right. And so I start trying it out before I go to the race. I'm like,
one,
oh my
two,
God.
Three, go.
Yeah, because we're doing like straight races or like goes over a couple of bumps and like somebody made like a little mud puddle for it to go through and all the shit and then the finish line, right? So I'm like, I can't get it to go straight. So finally, like last second, I like take it and I like push the switch like really hard in the middle. I'm thinking, all right, now it's gonna go straight. So they do their little cat pistol to start the race. And my thing
just hardcore.
So I'm on the end and there's like 20 stompers. My car immediately like wipes out like 15 stompers, just veering to the right. I was the most unpopular kid in school for that.
I just
week.
Remember I always wanted radio control car as a kid growing up for Christmas or my birthday. And
you're not honoring this last story. All right, tell us about the car.
But we used to always get the ones that have the wire connected to them.
Those are the worst.
They are the worst because you have to walk along with it.
Yeah, they don't even make those anymore.
They do make them.
Do they?
They sell them like at Walgreens.
They're like $6.99.
They're at Walgreens and stuff.
Is that for the kids so irresponsible you can't even mess
it's for
the remote control?
Dad that totally forgot his kid's birthday.
I got my kid's birthday and I have $3.98. What can I get?
$3.98 and I got 3 minutes
to
kill.
Here, son, have as much fun as you can within 3 feet.
It's the only remote control car that exercises you while you
it's to get these fat kids off the couch. I always wanted that. And then 1 year I got a Tyco radio control car. And you have to remember, you know, when you're that young, you don't understand like all the nuances of this stuff. You just see someone with a radio control car, a really nice one, and they're doing all this crazy
shit. You don't understand it's literally two switches, which is forward, backward, and left, right.
Oh, I wish, because mine was this. Like, you could go forward. It was only one button. Forward, and then when you hit back,
it would back
to the
right
or to the left or whichever direction, and that's how you turn corners back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I'd always,
it's like the JFK assassination, back and to the right, back and to the right.
And then I could never, they always looked real cool, like they would be fast or something like that, but they just did that thing and it was really old. And then they had one, I can't think of the name of, I think it was called the Claw. And it was like a monster truck, and
with the claws come out of
the tiger
wheels.
Claws come out of there.
I had one of those.
I always wanted one. I never got one.
Well, here's the thing: they, as cool as they look, they really sucked because. So what would happen is like it just had basically an on-off thing. It goes forward, and you don't have a remote or anything. Like it just goes forward, right? And when it hits certain things, the claws go out, but then it like goes in these crazy directions, and then the claws stop working like very fast.
But I always
like, you know, spark plugs are sometimes the first thing to go in a car. The claws were the first thing to go, and they go fast.
Well, you know, it's funny because I was thinking about in my backyard. I have a good sized backyard, but it's not landscaped or anything like that. We tried to grow grass, and I guess next season we're going to try to do it better. But in the back half of my yard, I have a pretty big space where I could do something with.
So you're going to build stompers?
No, I was thinking about building an RC track.
That'd be a great idea.
And then going, I don't have to plant any grass. It's just dirt. I don't have to do anything to it, you know. And I wanted to get one of those really nice gas-powered radio control cars. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, they're the kind you put on the street and I can keep up with traffic. I mean, they're really quick. I mean, they have exhaust and all that kind of stuff. But they are like $2,000 when you really get into them.
They're not that. They're $400 or $500, but they're not.
The basic ones are $400 or $500. If you really get into them, they're not cheap. You could spend $400 or $500. You could spend $400 or $500 just on the remote.
Most of my cars have been cheaper than
that's what I'm
talking about. Buy.
And that's when I had to go to get my. I look like a big time person because I'm driving that truck out there, but I have a loaner truck because I took my other truck to the shop today. And they're going to charge me $1,400 to have that thing fixed. They were my RC dreams.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is a good place to stop on Adrian's dreams.
Do what's going to happen. You're going to come to my house one day. I'm going to be in the back walking a remote control
look at the
car around the track.
Yeah. You'll notice the bigger track next to the littler track. That's where I have to walk. Take it easy.
Thank you.
Not safe for network.
So when you get the actual script in your hands, how is it that you memorize everything?
I mean, there's like, you write the first letter of each word.
That's what Robert Downey Jr. does.
Sure, yeah. And that's great for Robert Downey Jr., but
for Robert Downey Jr.
That just gets me so confused.
RDJ.
So RDJ. We won't be seeing you in an Iron Man suit anytime soon.
Well, not on stage. In my off time, maybe. But I don't know what you're doing in my bedroom, so please leave.
That's debatable.
I think the way we argue matters. The more diverse populations we have to argue with, the better. The internet, it gives you a lot of zealotry, and a lot of that insane, you know, 9/11 was an inside job, or the moon landing never happened, or whatever. But, you know, if we could look at the flip side of that, too, you get a whole bunch of information that gets to fly around the world in a heartbeat, and all of a sudden everybody knows the same damn thing.
We had a good life.
Is talking about the Juggalo community on the podcast so publicly as we do,
yeah,
does that set us up as a target in the future, potentially?
It's as much of a threat as a dirty 400-pound topless woman like running at you from a couple hundred yards away can be. You know what I mean?
This is family over here.
Family.
Box office battle.
If you were to take the male lead of your film and put him into a romantic comedy, would I root for him?
I have to say, we have seen this romantic comedy. Liv Tyler is his daughter, and he saves the human race in Armageddon.
Is that a romantic comedy, though?
You know, you had me until you said Armageddon.
Shooting the show.
My parents always stocked up on ramen. They didn't really know how much I ate. And I would actually scrounge up change and go to the store and buy more ramen so it didn't look like I ate as much.
Eric.
That's what alcoholics do. My mom should have never taught me how to make it.
Yeah, you had a problem.
The Alien Movie Project.
The aliens crash a kid's birthday party, basically.
Which, again, I think supports the frat aliens notion. Oh god, where am I? Oh guys, hey, is there anything to drink at this party? You guys,
I'm gonna have some of this cake.
Hey,
if I cut this cake?
Can I open this? Are you gonna wear that hat?
I'm just gonna take some of this cake.
Montucky Skies.
By the way, his character trait is he constantly pulls out stomach acid pills. What do you call it? Like Pepto-Bismol or something? And he just constantly chews the pills every time something comes wrong. He's like, ah.
Yeah.
Just chewing the pain.
Can
pills.
I just say, I
washes
appreciate...
them down with a cup of coffee.
I appreciate the subtlety used by saying his character trait, because we know this is the type of movie where each character gets one trait.
Find all our podcasts on iTunes. Not safe for network.